Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Boomer with the day off, Jerry and Gio today discussing a nightmare weekend for the New York Yankees up in Boston. Looks like they were going to salvage one last night until it didn't. Aroldis Chapman with the walks, and then all of a sudden you got to play with Andujar and Bird, and goes into extras, and game over, a four-game sweep in an AL East that looks like it is now gone to the Boston Red Sox as early as August 6th. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine, better than the Yankees for sure. And as I said to Al just a couple of minutes ago, when Evan and I discussed this game on Thursday, or the series, in no way, shape, or form did I ever think we'd be sitting here with the Yankees 9.5 games out. I thought, if anything, at worst, you'll win a game or two. At best, you take three, and I didn't think they'd win four. But I sure as hell didn't think the Red Sox would win four. And the way they won the 4-2, starting with Pierce, you know, the first couple of games, and home run after home run after home run. The Saturday game was just mind-blowing. And then last night, I mean, good Lord, 40 pitches, 39 pitches from Chapman. The home plate umpire sucked, I'll say that. But that said, he was all over the place. He's sweating like a... And whose bill of a hat sweats like his does?
I know. Not even me on the softball field have I ever seen that. And especially the way that the series started. Like, I really liked when Brian Cashman came out before the series and had a little bit of an attitude about the Red Sox. I thought that was great, where he said, "I wish we played them more," or whatever it was. I'm sort of paraphrasing now, because we're the only team that seems to beat them. And then they jump out to that 3-0 lead. Of course, they're missing Sam. And you're thinking they're going to be able to get one here, then that game unravels, and the rest of the weekend unraveled. Yeah. And I think you're really seeing a couple of things. One, the inexperience of these young guys in big situations. And Gleyber Torres has not been the same since he's come off the DL. I mean, you think about the how good Andujar and Torres have been for this team, and now that they're not, especially Torres offensively, that's a big deal. I mean, and of course, no Aaron Judge. And I think we sort of forget how much of an impact one player not being on the Yankees is because of all the star power, because of all the depth. But, I mean, that's the one guy you don't want to lose in a lineup. With him not being around, it's a completely different team. And that's where that separation between the Red Sox and the Yankees really starts to grow.
Yeah, and you look at Porcello and Eovaldi over the weekend. I mean, my God, the outings were incredible. I mean, you're talking 10-pitch innings on average. And even when I thought, you know, Alex Cora, he takes out Eovaldi. Was that the Saturday game? I guess I get them confused. But he takes him out for Kimbrel, and Kimbrel was terrible with the four-run lead, and the Yankees had a chance to actually come back in that game in the ninth inning. You're thinking, boy, he really might have screwed this thing up and given the Yankees an in. Now, they wound up closing the game, fair enough, but those two pitching performances, whether it's the absence of Judge, whether it's the absence of Sanchez, who has been terrible, which we know, but decent power numbers, but then the two of them collectively out, it's a different looking lineup, and they just did nothing all weekend.
Yeah, and you mentioned getting through these games with a low pitch count like Porcello did, where it was 86 pitches, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And that's something that the Red Sox will not allow to happen to them. That is a team, if you think about it, you know, whether it's CC Sabathia's got to come out of the game earlier, or Tanaka or whatever. I mean, these pitch counts, they grow and grow and grow. Now, the Red Sox are fouling pitches off. It's ridiculous at bats. They work everybody.
Yep.
And with the Yankees, especially right now, this iteration of the Yankees that we're looking at right now, I mean, offensively, they can't match that at all.
No.
So they have to find that. They need to be that team that wears pitchers out again, just like the Red Sox did. They gave them a pretty good blueprint over the weekend.
The plate discipline. I made a note of this in the ninth inning because, yeah, Chapman walks the bases loaded. There's no question about it. But if you look at one of the strikeouts he had, I think it was the Mitch Moreland at bat, which ended the inning after they'd already tied it. The reason he strikes Mitch Moreland out is because Moreland chases a slider / curveball, whatever it is, that is down and away. Looks good, dives down and away. When you look at some of the walks, whether it was Leon, whether it was Betts, even Pierce, they weren't biting on that pitch. Those were not bad pitches that were missing. I think he threw them exactly where he wanted. But their plate discipline was tremendous in that inning. And to your point, that was a huge part as to why they were able to come back, because they worked out walks, got men on base, and J.D. Martinez. So, I mean, enough. I mean, we're gushing about him. And I know, and he's right now he's the best hitter in baseball, no doubt. But he comes up while everybody's walking out walks. He goes up, first pitch, bam, right up the middle. And then you get the error from Andujar. And here we go in the 10th inning. And the Yankees go 1-2-3. And the Red Sox score with two outs and nobody on.
Yeah, and the Yankees do have a lot of guys that need you to chase. Like Masahiro Tanaka is one of those guys who needs you to chase. I mean, Aroldis Chapman, not as much. But there's a lot of times that I feel like he throws these fastballs that are out of the zone.
That was his problem.
That guys will chase normally because they're like, oh, great, I'm going to get a fastball. I'm sitting dead red. And I'm just going to, if it's anywhere near the plate, I'm going to swing, and they weren't doing it. I mean, they were just incredible. And also, Sonny Gray, when he was in the rotation, another guy who needs you to chase, and thank goodness as the Yankees and their fans see him warming up last night thinking, enough of this, we need this guy. So right now the Red Sox are head and shoulders better than the Yankees, and there's no disputing it. But we know that the Yankees aren't fully healthy. We know that this pace that the Red Sox are on is the best that we have seen in the history of their long storied franchise. So, yeah, I think you do forget about the division for now because, I mean, in 9.5 games, you're talking about whatever it is, 8-1, 9.5 games out of first place. So you forget about that for now, but you also got to be thinking about the fact that you're only, 2.5 games
up? Here come the A's.
On the Oakland A's?
Yeah.
The fact that you might have to now, where that was at least a lock where you're hosting that wild card game, now that's not even a lock.
No.
So your focus has to change after this series. You never want to just say throw in the towel and give up on the division, because if you play well and the Red Sox come back to earth, you get healthy, I guess anything can happen over the course of about 2 months, but you're not expecting that any longer. Right now, I mean, if the Yankees end up on the road against Oakland or Seattle in a wild card game, I mean, that would not be a great regular season. That would not be having a great year, like Aaron Boone said. So now you got to watch your back.
They've fallen on hard times for sure. And the A's, we've kind of mentioned them in the background for the last month or so. They've had a couple of long winning streaks. They've got really good players that many of us really have never heard of because we don't watch them all that often. They play in a dump of a building at the Coliseum. But you know what they are? They're really good. They're good defensively. Chris Davis hits home run after home run after home run. And they get they come from behind as much or more than anybody in baseball. And they've had that type of magical season. Do I think ultimately that the Yankees are going to end up losing out on? I don't. They'll figure this out. This is a terrible weekend. This team is still 26 games over 500 because they are that good. And I do think things will start heading in the other direction. Do I think they won the division? No, they're 8 games back in the loss column. I can't say it's over officially. It is August. I get it. But, you know, the cool thing about baseball, if you look back in the history, there are many times where teams have come back from maybe not 9.5 games. I don't know. 7.5 with 17 to go. I mean, things happen in baseball. It's a goofy game. The Red Sox are damn good, though. I don't know that they'll fall on hard times for that to happen. But, yeah, the Yankees got to just take care of business. They got the White Sox starting tonight.
Yeah.
They can get right real quick.
And they're not doing the small things well either. That's another thing that really impressed me about the Red Sox this weekend is how buttoned up they are on the base pads defensively. I mean, everything was perfect with them this weekend, where you look at the Yankees, the biggest defensive opportunity last night with Andujar on back-to-back, make the play, end the game.
Right.
I mean, think about it. I understand, all right, he's backed up. It's a long throw still. I mean, he doesn't get the ball clean out of his glove. It doesn't look like he's flat-footed. And then Greg Bird, okay, fine, save it, man. You know, pick the damn ball. And I know that it's a lot easier said than done in this situation, but, I mean, to me, you know, one of those two guys make a big league play to end the game when the game is on the line, and neither one of them did it.
Right.
And that's the type of stuff that you are not seeing from Boston right now, are plays like that, that are easy plays. I mean, easier big league plays than the Yankees made them look.
And Duhar also had the option or opportunity to run to the bag.
Right.
Now, do I know that he would beat the runner? No, but it was an opportunity. He kind of fumbles with the ball. That having been said, the throw he made was the worst possible throw. He thought he could reach, he couldn't. He could have long hopped it, didn't do that either, and you put Bird in a very tough spot, and it falls apart on them. And that is a loss. I mean, you think about all the bad losses the Mets have had that we sit there and we kill them for, and rightly so. This is right up there with it in terms of 4-1 lead, Chapman on the mound, and, you know, you strike out Holt to start the inning. You think, all right, let's just get this over with and go to bed. You got another hour of baseball. And he, I mean, again, 39 pitches. I mean, good Lord, it was a brutal inning.
Yeah, and I don't know what the excuse is this time. And I know it's a three-run lead, still a save situation. But when Boomer and I were at the Yankee Fan Fest and we were talking to Brian Cashman, it was fresh off that Subway Series disaster outing for Aroldis Chapman where things started to get away from him. And Brian Cashman said, well, you bring him in a non-save situation, you know, stuff like this happens. This was a save situation, a three-run lead. I didn't see him not concentrating. I mean, it wasn't like he was missing wildly.
No, I thought A-Rod pointed it out exactly. He pinpointed it. He just did not have control of the fastball.
Yeah.
You know, the slider was working. The fastball was not. And I will say again, I thought the umpire squeezed him and others too, because neither manager was thrilled with the home plate umpire. There were some calls. There are a couple of calls that could have gone strike three that were right on the line. And I know it's easier said than done. Trust me, I get it. But, I mean, my God, I mean, the pitches are so close to take. So while he was just off, I didn't think he was a disaster. He was just off, just like Kimbrel was the day before. Now, that was a four-run lead. Another situation, terrible. Yeah. I mean, I'm sitting there looking at him like, who wants this guy?
Yeah.
But for some reason, these relievers, it's not a one-run game. The adrenaline's not pumping. Sometimes it doesn't work so good.
Yeah, I mean, and how about the Red Sox at the deadline? I mean, we're so focused on what the Yankees were doing, and it wasn't really a big splash there with the Red Sox. It's not like either one of these teams got Machado. I guess Britton probably was the biggest name that came over with both of these teams, so that was a check mark for Brian Cashman. But, I mean, you look at Eovaldi and Pierce and what those guys did in this series. I mean, it's just... it's remarkable.
Well, I mean, Eovaldi, we saw him here, and we knew he had the great stuff, as people like to say. What's amazing is how good he is, you know, so really quick from coming back from Tommy John. I know he had the short time with the Rays this year, but he looked dominant over the weekend, as did Porcello. And there were two guys that, you know, I guess you could expect them to pitch well, but that well?
Yeah,
I know. And that economical?
Well, I think that the Yankees helped them out a lot. I mean, I don't want to take anything away from those performances, but I mean, the Yankees just offensively, especially runners in scoring position, working the counts, all the things we mentioned. You mentioned A-Rod last night on Sunday Night Baseball. So being off last week, I had an opportunity to watch some horrendous daytime television before I would leave the house to do something. Did you know that A-Rod spent like a week or at least a few days co-hosting the Today Show?
I did not know that. No.
Yeah, so he was on there with Kathy Lee and Hoda, all right? Drinking vodka, by the way, at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Hey, it's noon somewhere.
Right, and then they've got glasses of wine, which I guess is like a thing there. So I saw on Twitter that he was on. I put it on. It was the most uncomfortable thing that I have watched in years.
That to me sounds fun.
Sounds fun. But he was so nervous in that situation. And then he was doing like that fake I'm having a good time thing. You know, like everything that they say he would laugh at.
Is that where the dumbness comment came from? That he would get the dumbness out of his system to be able to have this relationship with Jennifer Lopez that maybe 20 years ago he wouldn't have been able to?
No, probably not. I don't know. Probably not. But she did show up one of those days. So she showed up with her
mom.
Maybe
she said it then.
She showed up with her mom. I don't know. I'm not sure. But to the studio, and then that was really awkward because then he was like nervous that she was there, and then the camera was just on her, and then I think that I'm telling you, NBC thinks that A-Rod is the next Michael Strahan, and that he can transcend anything, and they threw him in there to see how he would do, and he was horrendous.
Well, you know, if you would tell me Strahan or A-Rod, which one's gonna transcend, I would say A-Rod 10 times.
Yeah, no, but I
would never say Strahan. And look at the career he's had post-football. It's been remarkable.
It's just amazing to me how this is a guy who, it wasn't that long ago, is lying to everybody. He's persona non grata. He's public enemy.
He admitted it. We're good.
Number one
we're fine.
In sport. And now he's sitting there drinking vodka at 10 o'clock in the morning on network television with Kathy
A-Rod.
Lee Gifford.
Good to be A-Rod.
Dating J-Lo. It's insane how that happened.
But it goes to show, if you admit the error of your ways, people. You know, Andy Pettit was, you know, busted for human growth hormone.
Yeah.
What'd he do? He got in front of it.
Right.
Made the mistake, wanted to come back faster than otherwise I would have. And does anybody even care?
No, not at all. I know.
He admitted it. He was up front with it.
But it's
okay.
A different thing to, like, forgive a guy for that. It's another thing for this guy to be on.
I know, but he's so likable.
The Today.
He really is.
If you watched him here, though, I don't know.
I didn't see him on
phony.
This. I like A-Rod. I watch him on Fox Sports a lot, or at least I did, especially with Burkhart and some of those pregame shows.
Yeah.
The ESPN thing, I love Vasgersian. I think he's really good.
He is.
The mix of the three of them, is something missing.
Sure.
I don't know what it is, but I like watching A-Rod. I think he's interesting.
Yeah, no, he's he's fine. I mean, it's a little bit too much of him on Sunday Night Baseball. I don't need the special features, and I understand that they're paying him a lot of money, and he's on loan and all this stuff, and you want to use A-Rod. I get why they're trying to do that, just a little bit too much A-Rod for me. But A-Rod talking baseball, I'll listen to A-Rod talk baseball all day. Like A-Rod talking about Demi Lovato, or A-Rod talking about Justin Bieber being engaged, or, you know, A-Rod, it was funny because, you know, Kathy Lee is sitting there talking about one of her kids, like, graduating college or something for 5 minutes, and A-Rod's just sipping, he's just sucking his vodka down.
He's getting loose.
On the air, like, all right, I can't listen to this woman talking about her kids. So that was funny to me, but yeah, anyway, sorry. That was just something that popped in my head when you mentioned A-Rod. If anybody saw that, I mean, it was just totally bizarre. But now the Yankees move on, as you say, and you got Lance Lynn on the mound tonight, a guy that maybe you can get something out of him in a start that's very, very important for the team.
You know, one name we didn't mention, you mentioned Lynn and pitching. One name we didn't mention so far in the first 15 minutes, and it should be, is Masahiro Tanaka.
Yeah.
Because while Luis Severino was okay the other night, he was not dominant, he was not ace-like. Masahiro Tanaka's last bunch of starts, I mean, there's your number one starter again.
Yeah, I know. He has been really good, really deceptive. His breaking stuff is moving all over the place, and that's what you love to see from him. Still gives up way too many home runs. Every single start, I feel like he's giving up a home run.
And that one bets it last night. Good Lord.
So, but I've been very, very happy with him. And if you think about, I mentioned this, I think it was Wednesday, I don't know, one of the last days I worked, but when Pedro Martinez was on with Mike a couple weeks ago, he asked him, who are the guys that you love watching pitch right now? And he threw out there Verlander, obviously. He threw out Chris Sale, obviously. And then he mentioned Tanaka third, which you wouldn't normally think that would be right. Oh, he mentioned Scherzer, too, actually. But then he mentioned Tanaka in that same conversation, just saying, this guy is such a smart pitcher. And when he's on, he's one of the most fun guys to watch. So if you can get Severino right, and I know that he hasn't been dominant, but when you're pitching to a Cy Young level, you really expect that every single time. But you're right. You're not going to feel as empty after Severino if Tanaka keeps this up.
Yeah.
So that was a good sign in the four losses over the weekend.
As of right now, if they play a wild card game, he's got to be your starter today. I mean, things can change in the next 6 weeks. He's got to be your starter.
Yeah.
He has to be. With the way Severino's been, if the game was if the game was in 5 days, with what you've seen over the last month, to me, there's not even a question about it. That's your starter.
Right, I would agree. I think it'll eventually still be Severino.
Sure, very well could be.
But I do agree that the guy's been off the charts.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.